Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. When I was young, I knew from the very first day of school that I wanted to be a teacher. I would always try and get my brothers and sisters to play school with me, and of course I would be the teacher. For Christmas one year, I got a small chalkboard, and I got my dad to hang it on the wall. I made two aisles of small desks with orange crates. Orange crates were wonderful things, and for those of you who are young, you have no idea what they are, but they were a wooden crate, about that big, about that deep, and they had a wooden divider in the middle. And growing up in a small country store, we had all kinds of these crates because that's how oranges and fruit came. So I used these wooden crates to make aisles for school. It was really difficult to get my brothers and sisters to play school with me because they didn't like school. And for them, it was, we have to go to school all day. Who wants to sit and play school at night? There's more fun games than that. So I still had the goal of wanting to be a teacher. But by the time I got to grade 12, that was when the system changed. Originally, you just had to have grade 13 and one year of teacher's college, and you could be a teacher. Well, when I got to grade 12, they changed all that. You had to have a university degree, plus you had to go to teacher's college. So, coming from a family where both parents were self-employed, there was no way you could get a student loan to continue on to school. So I decided, since I couldn't go to university, I certainly didn't need grade 13, so off I went to work. But on the upside, I still enjoyed children. And in my 50s, just a few days ago, I thought of opening a daycare. It was a very difficult choice. Should I go from a 9-to-5 job with holidays and benefits to a 6-to-6 job with no holidays and no benefits? It was a struggle because I really did enjoy children. But when it came down to it, you guessed it, the benefits of a small pension and holidays at one. When Reverend Mike decided we needed to have a nursery, I was very happy to volunteer and take my turn looking after the small children. It kind of became a chore for Reverend Mike and another responsibility that he didn't need added to an already heavy workload, as he had to schedule volunteers and teens each week to be in the nursery. So I decided to step up and help out. This is a very rewarding volunteer position. Although most adults don't jump up and say, I'll help, pick me. But if they are approached, most of them will willingly help. Even one Sunday a year is a help. Although there are some who say, I don't know anything about children. My kids are grown up, I don't know how to deal with little ones, so there must be somebody else better for the job. And that's fine. Not everybody is suited to do everything. But for me, nothing is better than having that little baby grab your face and slobber all over your cheek or fall asleep in your arms. So I guess when I stop and think about it, Selby United Church has allowed me to fulfill my goal. My dream of being a teacher. I taught Sunday school when my children were young, and as my grandchildren came along, I taught them. And Now I don't have to open a daycare. I can watch the kids downstairs, and it's only 2 hours a week. Although the pay is not really good. Reaching children is a priority here at Selby. We are so blessed to have Reverend Mike. His ideas and suggestions have been well received, and many volunteers have stepped up to help. Our Sunday school program is almost at capacity, and the older children, who are now teens, have transitioned into helping with the worship service. They help in the nursery, they help in the young class with crafts, they help with the sound system, they help with the PowerPoint, and sometimes if they don't have a particular job that day, they stay upstairs and worship with the adults. I remember telling a children's story one Sunday about Jesus coming to a small town to meet the people and to do some preaching. I likened it to a popular singer coming to Napanee, and I can't remember the singer I used at the time, but I kind of think it might have been Justin Bieber. But I went on and on about how excited everyone would be, and the streets would be lined with people, and there would be cars everywhere, and everyone would be so excited to see this famous person. And of course, they would hope that he would sing a couple of songs. So, as it was with Justin coming to Napanee, that's how it was with Jesus coming to the small town. When the parents heard that Jesus was coming to their town, they told the children what a wonderful speaker he was and that the whole family would go to see him. The children had to wash their hands and face and comb their hair, put on their best clothes. Mother packed a great big lunch, and off they went. When they got to where Jesus was, there were so many people that the children couldn't see him. The parents told the children to make their way to the front of the group and to sit on the ground so that they could hear and see Jesus. When the disciples saw the children, they told them to be quiet, not to bother Jesus. He was busy and didn't have time for them. But as we read in Matthew 19, verses 13 to 15, some people brought children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and to pray for them. But the disciples scolded the people. Jesus said, "Let the children come to me and do not stop them, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And he placed his hands on them. So you see, children were just as important to Jesus as the adults were. The children are the future of our church. There's a beautiful song that was sung by Whitney Houston, and if I was as good a PowerPoint as Mike was, I could have had this little insert with her singing, but I'm not that talented. So I'll just read the first verse, the lyrics. "I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to." So too, the children need a hero. Why couldn't that hero be you? And your hero is Jesus. You might remember one of the late-night television hosts used to have a top 10 list every night. Well, not to be outdone by Mr. Letterman, I too have a top 10 list. The top 10 reasons you should volunteer to work in the nursery. Number 10, it's not an obligation, it's a joy. Number 9, being in the nursery with the children is a special time when you can pray for them. When you are holding this sweet little child, why not take a minute to pray over them? Number 8, it's a first contact for young families bringing their children to church. What could be better than to be greeted with a smiling face and being welcomed to the church, along with, "I would be happy to watch your child for you. You enjoy the service." Initial contact and welcome to a new church is very important. Number 7, you may not have looked at it this way, But Jesus was always putting people ahead of himself. And that is exactly what you are doing. You are putting the children first instead of you being involved in the worship service. What better way to follow in Jesus' footsteps? Number 6. When you volunteer to be in the nursery, you are being entrusted with the most important members of the church family. The children are a special gift from God, and you are a special person to be entrusted with their care. Number 5. Providing a child with a positive experience in the nursery is essential to provide a positive and rewarding experience in church. If the child in your care enjoys the nursery, they will want to come back again. Number 4. By looking after children in the nursery, you are allowing the parents to focus on the worship service without worrying about being disruptive to the people around them. And it also allows the minister to fulfill his ministry without being disturbed. Number 3. One of the functions of our church and church family is to serve each other. By looking after children in the nursery, we are serving the families of the church, which is a true act of worship. Number 2. The nursery is set up so the children can learn to trust God's family. And the number 1 reason? God is in the nursery. Of course, we know that God is with us all the time, and God is with us when we pray. But in Matthew 18, verse 20, "For where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there I am among them." So, what have I learned from volunteering in the nursery? Well, I can still get down on the floor and play games. Getting up is the hard part. I can laugh and giggle with the children. I can still give horsey rides on my foot. I can break up a tug of war over a certain toy. I can read a storybook and make goofy sounds. I can play a game that has changing rules every minute, or sometimes every few seconds. Sit here, no sit here, no do this, no do this this time. And every once in a while, I feel it's okay for me to give this child a hug. So there you have it. Some reasons why I enjoy the nursery. As a church family, everyone needs to work together. You may never sing a solo or serve communion or take up collection, but you can hold a child. I invite anyone to join me as a nursery helper. Thanks be to God. Amen.